Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates, 8:05 Central Time on this Epiphany of Our Lord, Tuesday, January 6th. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Stanish Stanley. He is the new executive director of Christian Friends of New Americans. Good morning, Pastor Stanley.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you this morning as our guest pastor. And how are things going for you and your family?
Well, things are going pretty well. The new year has begun well, as you pointed out with your introduction of me, that that I am the new executive director. I am going to take that position in a very phased kind of a manner because I am also finishing up with my PhD at Concordia Seminary. So I'm looking forward to the new year. We had a wonderful Christmas and a blessed new year, and I wish the same to you and your family and also to everybody who is listening to us today.
Thank you, and happy Epiphany.
Thank you very much. Same to you, too.
Well, very good. We are studying Luke chapter 3 this morning. Is that correct? Verses 21 through 38?
That is correct, sir. Yes.
So we'll take a look at this. We'll dig in. Anything you want us to know before we study the text?
Well, it's the text is kind of placed very interestingly because 21 and especially if you look at 21 to 23, it is basically the baptism of Jesus, and then from baptism suddenly you kind of switch to a genealogy of the list of names as to how Jesus is connected to being the Son of God, and so that kind of makes for interesting reading, and sometimes we try to kind of question as to why is the genealogy coming somewhere in chapter 3, whereas in Matthew it's somewhere in chapter 1, and wouldn't that be the logical way of doing things? But there is a purpose for what Luke is placing the genealogy, especially after the baptism of Jesus, namely the thing being that the baptism kind of really puts it to the reader, to everybody, that Jesus is truly the Son of God, and that is attested at the time of baptism by the Holy Spirit and the Father coming together with the Son. And that sonship of Jesus with the Father is then connected by show of the genealogy. So that is something that we can kind of keep in mind. And also, it immediately takes us to the next chapter, that is chapter 4 also, where the temptation of Jesus takes place. And the temptation being that the devil or Satan wants the sonship of Jesus to be doubted, to be questioned through a temptation that takes place. So the genealogy kind of fits in very well within these two, the baptisms as well as the temptation taking place, and that's something that we can keep in mind.
Well, very good, very good. Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through 38. Let's dig in. Verse 21. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." So all the people were baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying. So the people had all, as you were giving us the introduction, the background here, all the people were baptized.
So as it says, when all the people were baptized and when Jesus was also had been baptized, so the baptism, it seems as if has already taken place. And that is the important thing that we need to keep in mind here, especially in the Lucan version of the baptism, is that the focus is not on John the Baptist or on the baptism itself. The focus is on Jesus' actual baptism as to what really happened. Another important thing that we see over there is that Jesus had also been baptized and was praying, and that's when the heavens opened. So praying is, as we very well know during the as we look at the ministry of Jesus, praying and prayer is a very central part of his ministry. Whether it's the whether it is the Sermon on the Plains, whether it is the passion prediction and narrative and all that before the betrayal, the Transfiguration, for instance, through all these parts of the Jesus story, you will see that prayer is an important aspect, is an important part of Jesus' life and ministry here on earth, and it is so it's so significant that we even find that to be the case here. When Jesus' baptism takes place. And during that actual act of baptism, Jesus, is, as he prays, that is when the heavens were opened. That's what it says. So the opening of heaven, the prayer, all these kind of become a part and parcel of the entire baptism narrative. And that is something that we can kind of keep in mind and even connect to our own way in which when we are baptized, what is our relationship? We are entering into a relationship with the Father, in that life as a Christian, prayer becomes a very central aspect or a central part of our Christian life. So this is something that we can kind of notice over here that is happening in Jesus' baptism. It is as if, yes, we all know what John the Baptist was doing. His baptism was the baptism of repentance, and there are a lot of people kind of flocking to this baptism that is taking place. He is calling people into a life which is completely different from what they've been living. And this begs the question whether Jesus was also repenting of his sins, or whether Jesus was a sinner himself. That would be probably a question that we would go into a little deeper as we go ahead and talk about this passage.
We are studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Stanish Stanley. If you have questions or comments about the text, we're in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through 38. Give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. All right, as you pointed out, Jesus was praying, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. So here we see the Holy Spirit. We see Jesus, the Son, and now we also see the Holy Spirit descending on him in bodily form, like a dove.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, so basically, the role of the Holy Spirit and the way it is portrayed, for instance, in John, you will find the Holy Spirit is almost like a purging kind of power. He is kind of out to kind of destroy and take away everything, which is bad or which is not good. But over here in the Lucan narrative, you will find that the Holy Spirit is kind of more in tune with Jesus' ministry of reconciliation, Jesus' ministry of humility, the servant form, and the dove basically becomes or epitomizes even to a very large extent the new creation kind of aspect, which we will see from the flood narrative of Noah, where the dove kind of is sent out, it is the bringing of it is the dawning of the new creation. The redemption activity of Jesus is kind of opening up with this anointing into the ministry of ministry on this earth through the Holy Spirit that is descending in bodily form like a dove. So to speak of this entire imagery that is kind of played out over here and that is kind of given by Luke, we need to keep in mind that yes, Jesus' ministry is a ministry of unleashing the forces of new creation, unleashing the forces of reconciliation, unleashing the forces of redemption, of salvation from our sins, and with the Holy Spirit descending on him in the form of in bodily form like a dove, what we also see is the Holy Spirit, the triune Godhead, now kind of the second part of the third part of the triune Godhead now just coming down upon the Son. And as we go read further, we will also come across the voice of the Father coming in. So the Trinitarian aspect is also kind of seen here in the baptism of Jesus, which is very important for each and every one of us as Christians, as because we are when we are baptized in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and we are becoming a part of this Trinitarian Godhead or this Trinitarian led community of a God who as Father, Son, and Spirit sustains our very life here on earth.
Now we've seen the Spirit descend like a dove, and then a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. So we have Jesus the Son, we see the Holy Spirit, and now we hear a voice. Who is this voice?
And yes, this is the voice of the Father. So that's what I was kind of hinting at the very beginning as we were talking through this thing, and that is that the Trinitarian aspect, the Father now comes in. The God the Father, His voice is coming down from is coming from heaven, and there is this attestation or this declaration that you are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. So and here we keep in mind the entire we will be slowly getting into the genealogy also, where there is also this take in the genealogy of Jesus being the new Adam, the second Adam. So the first Adam, who was also God's creation, God's dearest creation, what happens to him is he fails as a result of the fall. And here the Son of God, Jesus, the second Adam, is coming into this world. He is going to start his earthly ministry. He is going to be anointed the work that of redemption of salvation of people, which God the Father now kind of attests to. He says that yes, you are my beloved Son, and in you I am well pleased. In this entire discourse over here, from 21 to 20 to 22. Very key things that I was kind of trying to point out is about, of course, the prayer that is taking place. The second being the opening of the heaven. And the opening up of the heavens really kind of tries to show how when Jesus is getting baptized, is being baptized, or when the baptism has taken place, and when he is praying, the heavens open up. So Jesus basically has come to open the heavens for us. There is a descending of the Holy Spirit. The Godhead kind of comes together at this point with Jesus being baptized, the Holy Spirit descending in the form of a dove, the voice of the Father kind of coming out and attesting and declaring that, yes, this is my Son with whom I'm very well pleased. But the entire heaven opening up imagery also kind of points out how God comes to us here on earth, and how that ministry of reconciliation, how that ministry of redemption, and how that ministry of salvation takes place through the Son for each and every one of us who are also going to be now entering into this very same promise, into the very same life as the Son has worked to do the job of getting each and every one of us in. So the baptism is basically baptism of Jesus. As I pointed out, the question would be, was he also getting baptized for his sins, for all the wrongs that he committed till that particular age when he got baptized? But as we understand, as we know, Jesus was true God as well as true man. And what is really happening over here is that Jesus, as the Son of God and as Son of Man, as true man, kind of stands with us. He takes our humanity, and he becomes a part of us. And he is basically a substitute, so to speak, of the sins of humanity. Standing before, standing in baptism, taking the baptism of John, and at the same time being attested by God the Father as the beloved Son, who is now anointed with the Holy Spirit to take forward the ministry of God, the ministry of reconciliation, redemption, and salvation into the world. So this is basically a very the apex moment, so to speak, of Jesus' earthly ministry. Of course, the most important one being the baptism of fire that he goes through when he is crucified on the cross for each and every one of us. But at this water baptism, basically what is happening is the initiation, the initial move or the beginnings of holy ministry is taking place through the Son for each and every one of us. And this is something that is very important for each and every one of us as believers to also be a part, the partaker of. And that is that we are baptized into this ministry of Jesus, into this life of Jesus and of the Father and of the Spirit, where we are also becoming sons of God. We are. It is not that we deserve anything, but rather just because of the grace of God, we are, and because of what God has done in Jesus Christ, the baptism kind of makes us, brings us into His community of being children of God, and that is a very important thing for each and every one of us as believers to kind of keep in mind.
You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. What does it mean that God is well pleased with His Son?
Well, it really means that yes, he is the new Adam who will take care, take forward the ministry that God has ordained for him and for each and every one, and for each and every one of us. It also means that he will be the one who will be obedient, who will do as per and as God the Father wishes of him. For things to get done, it is. It also means that he will be the one in whom we all have to commit ourselves, place our faith in, and trust in. That is what God the Son and Jesus is. He is the one who is most pleasing. He is the one who is most obedient. He is the one who is most trustworthy. So this is an attestation of or a declaration from the Father's side that yes, He is the one whom I am pleased about. He is the one to whom you should listen. He will be the one who will accomplish the demanding tasks that I place upon human beings. You and me as believers will never be able to measure up or stand up to the standards of God, and unfortunately, it's definitely because of our own sinful self. But at the same time, because of this most pleasing Son that God has, and whom God has given most generously to each and every one of us, it is made possible for each and every one of us to become children of God, and this is only possible because He is ready to do the most difficult thing, and that is to die for each and every one of our sins, and that is one of the main reasons why Christ has come into the world, and God knows this, and God has given Him this task, and He will do that task. And so for God the Father to kind of openly declare it that you are my beloved Son, you are most precious to me because you are me, you are part of me, you are what I am, and that makes it makes it the most important, most necessary to say that yes, I am the most pleased with you. I am most pleased with what you are going to do for me.
We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Stanish Stanley. We're in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through 38. If you have questions or comments, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll take a look at the genealogy of Jesus, the rest of our text today, verses 23 through 38. Stick around for more His Time right after this on Worldwide KFUO.
KFUO celebrates our 90th anniversary. On December 14, 1924, from a small attic studio in St. Louis, KFUO was heard for the very first time. Our founders used the motto, keeping forward, upward, and onward, to go along with the call letters assigned at the station. And from that day on, KFUO has moved forward through each decade, proclaiming a Christ-centered message. We've moved upward with broadcasting in AM, FM, HD, and satellite syndication of KFUO programs. Worldwide KFUO continues to move onward, using today's technologies including internet streaming, on-demand programs, and podcasting. The mission of that first day is the mission we have today. Go out and proclaim the gospel. Now, through the end of January, join us for fun and memories during this 90-day celebration with a new theme each week, reflecting on our 90 years of ministry. KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading in Luke chapter 3. Today, we're studying with Pastor Stanish Stanley, the Executive Director of Christian Friends of New Americans, and also a pastor from the India Evangelical Lutheran Church, a regular voice here on Worldwide KFUO. And we're in Luke chapter 3. Pastor, anything else about verses 21 and 22 before we go on to the next section?
Well, not really, but just to kind of sum up the entire thing, and that is to point out that yes, Jesus, this is just the beginning of Jesus' ministry in holy ministry, and as I pointed out, it is a ministry that is going to be laden with a lot of difficulty, with a lot of challenges, and a lot of a lot of questions and answers that are sought and are also given. But the most important thing is to keep in mind for us as Christians also as to how we are connected with the baptism of Jesus. It is definitely, as Martin Luther says, Jesus' baptism is the daily dying to sin and the daily rising to new life. And it is in Jesus' baptism of the water and spirit that is kind of visible over here in these passages, in these verses that we've read, that we also become a part and parcel of that sonship that Jesus has achieved or gained for each and every one of us. And the most important thing for us to also note over here is how the sonship of Jesus is attested by the voice of the Father and the bodily descending of the Holy Spirit that comes in the form of a dove. But this is the baptism into which Jesus is baptized, and he will now have to move ahead. The sonship of the Father is clearly kind of declared by God the Father in these two verses, and Luke now moves into the genealogy of Jesus, which is a different take from the Matthean one, and basically again the idea over here is to kind of point out how Jesus is the Son of God. And you will find that very interesting that the entire genealogy list kind of ends with the Son of God. So the connection is now made because the sonship is kind of declared, and it is shown in the baptism that the Father has attested and has openly declared it, that yes, he is my beloved Son. So how does the sonship kind of now play itself in real life? How is Jesus the Son of God, and that is what we will be entering into the next part as we go into the genealogy of Jesus.
All right, let's take a look at the genealogy, verse 23 and following. Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son, as was supposed, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Jenai, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Maath, the son of Mattathias, the son of Semein, the son of Josek, the son of Joda, the son of Joanan, the son of Resa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adai, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmadam, the son of Eleazar, the son of Joram, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Meliah, the son of Mena, the son of Mattatha, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salah, the son of Nashon, the son of Aminadab, the son of Admin, the son of Arni, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Quite the genealogy. Now, right. Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age. He was about 30 when he began his his ministry, his work.
In fact, you will see that most of the, in the Old Testament, also most of the Levites and most of the priests kind of really started their ministry, or they were kind of, they got into their roles as priests at the age of 30. So 30 is a kind of a very, very important number in that sense. We see that David, if you look into the book of Samuel, David became king at the age of 30. And 30 is kind of has that kind of connotation to it. So there is that connection with the earlier Old Testament heroes and prophets and all that in this age that is mentioned. But at the same time, yes, it kind of gives us a very good idea of basically the figure when, at the time when Jesus was Jesus got into the ministry of what he was supposed to do for each and every one of us through his ministry here on earth, and that's basically a time frame that is kind of mentioned, that would be the best way to kind of see it, that there is this connection with the Old Testament, the age 30 being an important one. And Jesus also kind of the significance kind of is important because of that age being something which was also a part and parcel of Old Testament understanding and history.
The son, as was supposed, of Joseph. This little caveat here, as was supposed.
Right. Yes, the little caveat, because Jesus is not of not really of body and blood of Joseph. He is from the Holy Spirit, conceived through Mary. So the genealogy basically, and that's the reason why it is mentioned as was supposed over there of Joseph. But anyway, Jesus is the son of Joseph, and that's how the culture kind of takes him to be. And Joseph also accepts the role that he is kind of assigned in all this, in this narrative, or in this entire scheme of things that God has made to be for Jesus to kind of come into the world. But as the genealogy list kind of proceeds, we see that there is a definite difference with the Matthean genealogy list and the Lucan one being a little different. And sometimes some scholars would probably argue that, hey, this is basically the genealogy of Mary and not the genealogy of Joseph. But as we see, it is very clear in the very beginning, the son, as was supposed, of Joseph, the son of Haley. So it looks like definitely the list itself suggests that it is the Joseph's genealogy list that is being looked into and that is being played out over here for the hearer and for the reader. In fact, just to kind of keep in mind at the very beginning, the Matthean list goes in a descending order, whereas the Lucan list that we see is going from an ascending fashion. It's more of a Greco-Roman kind of style, whereas the Matthean one is more of a Hebrew or a Jewish way of rendering the genealogy list. And today, we very well know that we all kind of are interested in genealogies. Everybody is getting into finding out from where I came, from what is my culture, what is my ancestry, and ancestry.com is such an important thing for many people today, especially in the West. And it is very much important to keep in mind that even during those days, the Roman culture, Greco-Roman culture, kind of had the genealogy list as something to be really proud of. So if you could kind of bring your genealogy and find out and attach yourself to something of a great hero or something, then that much more more authenticity and credibility came to your own position as a person or a family. And over here, we find the interesting thing is that certain names in the genealogy list, which turned out to be really problematic, like for example Judah. The genealogy list is not taken around lines of Joseph or Benjamin, but Judah becomes is listed in this category, who had a child from his daughter-in-law Tamar. So there are kind of, and it basically kind of shows us that it is when you Jesus kind of coming out of that line really shows that the membership to the genealogy of the Son of God is not through achievements and not through our own personal authentic and genuine and good we were, but rather it is just by pure grace of God. He kind of uses each and every one of us in our own way to accomplish His work, and so it is by grace and not by works that we become members of this great genealogy, and that is itself kind of visible in the genealogy list that is provided to us over here of Jesus. The other important thing that probably we can kind of bear in mind and keep in mind is that for the Matthean genealogy list, there is this emphasis upon pointing out to a very Jewish or a Christian audience or a Jewish audience that Jesus is basically the fulfillment of the messianic prophecy of the and he is the Messiah. So basically that is at the center of that genealogy list that is kind of played out in Matthew, whereas here we will find that the connections are there, of course, to big and important patriarchal figures of the Old Testament, like whether it is David or whether it's Abraham or whether it's Enoch. Even the kinship figure of David is very important in the genealogy list. There is also this connection to Adam, the very beginning, but then comes him being the Son of God. So the connection to God the Father, number one. Number two, the connection to being son of Adam. So this, he is, of course, the second Adam that is also kind of there in this genealogy list that is kind of played out. But what is important for each and every one of us today is to point out that, and from a Lucan perspective, this is important because it is to point out the universality of the sonship of Jesus. That Jesus is the Son of God, and meaning that he is of everybody. So it is not only he is not only the fulfillment of the messianic prophecy, but he is the fulfillment of the redemption of the entire world. So each and every one of us, whether we are Jews or Christian, Jews or Indians or Americans or white or black or brown or Dalit or whatever, we are all kind of, you know, brought into the family of God, because number one of the sonship that God that Jesus has in his Father, secondly because of him bringing us into this community, into this family, just by pure grace pure grace of God in and through what he has achieved and what he has done for each and every one of us. So that is something that that kind of comes out from this genealogy list, and going through each and every name would be difficult, but or we wouldn't have the time, but this is something that we can kind of see in this entire list and kind of focus our attention on.
We've been studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Stanish Stanley, the new director of Christian Friends of New Americans and pastor in the India Evangelical Lutheran Church. Pastor Stanley, we are all out of time. Thank you so much for being our guest pastor today, helping us study this text in Luke chapter 3.
Thank you very much. So thanks for having me. I want to wish you and as well as everybody at KFU and also our listeners a very happy and a blessed day.
Thank you. You as well. Blessed and happy Epiphany. Coming up in just a little bit, Ministry Highlight, we're going to hear from some of our Lutheran schools around the world. Stick around for more His Time coming up right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.